Hello, you're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you're here this morning, God. And your peace that passes all understanding, God, is being revealed to us through your word. God, let us think like you. Give us your mind and give us your peace, Lord. In your name we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you today. I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the worship pastor here at ICC. And today I'll be encouraging you about thinking about your thought life. So how is your thought life? Do you feel peaceful this morning? Yeah? Well, that's good to hear. But if not, we're going to be encouraged this morning by God's word and what Paul has to say about having a thought life and honoring him and receiving his peace. So during a recent vacation with my family, we did a staycation. We stayed at home, we did day trips. But my daughter said the funniest thing that really got me thinking. She said, "Daddy, I was made for the hammock life." Now, I don't know where she got it from. We don't own a hammock. I don't think she's been in a hammock one time, I think, in her life. But, you know, I thought about it. I said, yeah, me too. I'm made for the hammock life, yeah. But, you know, it's so true that I can speak for myself, is that I would love to just sit on a beach or in a hammock or somewhere peaceful and just really enjoy having no worries and no concerns. But really, that's not God's will for my life, and that's not God's will for your life. And really, the best that God has for us is really taking on the worry and anxiety and stresses of life, but finding peace in that. So that's my prayer this morning for you. You know, when I heard about Peter and Becca last night, you know, Peter was going to run the soundboard today. And so we had to make some adjustments and really tested my piece. I ran sound for worship this morning. But it was really awesome to hear that the baby was safe and that everything worked out okay. But it brought me back to when my wife and I had our last child, Eliana. And so basically we had woken up and my wife's stomach was all hardened and she was in pain and really suffering. And it was really a shock, and I was scared. I was scared for my wife, I was scared for my daughter, and really I could identify with that fear and really having to trust God in the midst of uncertainty and of conflict, and I just really, my heart goes out to them. So if you can just be praying for them, and we rejoice in that the peace of God is with them right now. So personally, I have struggled with many things in my life. When it comes to negative self-talk, stress, anxiety, and even after becoming a Christian. And I always wondered, I thought, man, when I become a Christian, all these things would just go away, that life would just be perfect. But as many of us know, that's not reality. And it's something that God has us wrestle with. It's sort of a progression of wrestling, a sanctification process. So in real life, I have to hold on to the peace, because it can be easily be stolen if I don't hold on to that and let God's word help me with that. The Bible talks about having a mind of peace, but more importantly, having the peace of God. We live in a fallen world, and that which is affected by sin, which is every level, is our thoughts, our relationships with God and with people. So today we're going to examine the words of Paul the Apostle in chapter 4 of Philippians. And we're going to see that even in the midst of life's hardships, stress, and anxiety, we can still have the God of peace. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So I've been thinking, I want to pose a question to you this morning as we go through the scriptures, and if we could just take a look at this in the next slide. Why is it that we don't always have peace of mind, even when we have peace with God? When we accept Christ into our life, and he indwells within us, right, the Holy Spirit living within us, we receive the peace of God. That comes and dwells within us. So why is it that we have that peace, right? We have security in knowing God. But why is it sometimes we don't have peace of mind, right? Is that a question? Amen. So let's dwell on that this morning. So as we think on that, first we should acknowledge every thought leads us to either life or death. As Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows springs of life or death." James 1:15 says, "Thoughts can give birth to sin, and sin, when fully grown, gives birth to death." The Bible says that all sin begins in our thoughts, which is often called the heart. No one commits outward sin without first having committed them in his mind. If we want to grow in godliness, we must first win the battle over sin in our thought, on the thought level. So our first scripture is Mark 7:20-23, if you want to turn to that in your Bibles. So Jesus said this, and he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." And another way of defining it is it desecrates or it soils a person's soul. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a soiled soul. So some brief context. The book of Philippians was written during Paul's imprisonment in Rome. Yet it has this theme of having joy and peace, even in the midst of suffering. Paul sent this letter to believers in the city of Philippi, which was the first Jesus community that he started in ancient Macedonia, now located in northeastern Greece. The believers were experiencing persecution and some quarreling. So we're going to look at Philippians 4:8-9, where Paul exhorts us to develop a Christian thought life. So I'm going to be breaking the scripture into three areas, and then we're going to have a few points to go with each area. So the first area, we're going to look at the words that stick out. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So we're going to stop there. So what Paul is not teaching is the power of positive thinking. What Paul is teaching is that the Christian's thought life should be focused on the truths of Scripture. So isn't it the way of the world that as they seek inner peace, they rely on the power of positive thinking or willing yourself or even removing every obstacle in order to achieve peace? But the problem is this doesn't last and it doesn't work. See, have you ever tried this? Telling yourself, "I'm not going to get mad at the kids." Right? Or, "I'm not going to get mad at my spouse. I determined I'm not going to do it." Right? Driving home, "I'm not going to get mad. Whatever that thing is that I get upset about, I'm not going to do it." And you come in, and what's the first thing that happens? You get upset. Right? Whatever it is, it triggers it. Right? So it shows us that really willing yourself to think and say, "I'm not going to do it," it really doesn't work. Is that momentarily it may change, but it's not lasting. Do you remember the song? It's called "My Favorite Things" in The Sound of Music. Who's seen The Sound of Music? Right? It's a great movie. It's a classic movie. So let me see what you think. If one of these will stop you from losing your temper, there's raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up in strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzels with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses, satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, Silver white winters that melt with into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. You can sing with me. When the dog bites, when the bees sting, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. So that it sounds so beautiful. Some of you just sang louder here now than in worship. That's okay. So it's more about changing the mind than suspending the concerns, right? It's more about changing the mind than suspending the concerns. So in looking at our verse this morning, who do we describe? Who do these attributes describe? It's Jesus, right? So when we think about these things, we want the mind of Christ. Each attribute is just pointing us back to Jesus. These characteristics are what Jesus is focused on and should be what describes us, his children. When it says, think on these things, it means give them weight in your decisions and allow them to shape your thoughts and conduct. Jesus didn't let circumstance determine his thoughts or his reactions. The high goal that God has for your life is to become conformed to the image of his Son. That is what will produce godly character and what the Bible describes as the mind of Christ. Jesus perfectly demonstrates these attributes. So the first point under think about these things is the mind of Christ. So we're going to put some definitions on these words. So when you're thinking about it, think about Jesus is. Like, Jesus is true. But also, what about you? Jesus enables you to be true. So first word. True means real, authentic, not counterfeit, unchanging, free from falsehood. John 3:33 attests that God is true. Our culture assumes that love means being tolerant and accepting of everyone and everything. But you can be carried far from God's absolute moral standard without the revelation of God's truth and God's word. God is the only final test of truth. And when I think about truth, it's really God's word. God's word is his truth to us. And that's how we measure truth. The next word is honorable. Honorable is that which inspires reverence or awe, dignified, worthy of respect. The overall attitude is taking the cost seriously. And when I think about being honorable or taking the cost seriously, I think about Christ and the cross. Is that he knew what it meant to leave heaven, come to earth, and to pay that price for us. And so we give our honor to God for what he has done. Just. Just means to do what is right and practice righteousness. This word is used about God himself, who is righteous and conveys the holy, set-apart nature of God. When I think about just, you know, being just, I think about God as the true judge. Is that he doesn't use our standard, but he has a perfect standard at which he judges right and wrong. Pure. This word refers to the ceremonial purity and moral purity in keeping our bodies undefiled and abstaining from sexual sins. So I think about the Lamb of God. Is that God is described in his sacrifice as perfect and pure, and he's a source of purity. Also, the word purity goes hand in hand with lovely. The word lovely occurs only once here in the New Testament. It means that it is pleasing, agreeable, and attractive. At times we find ourselves attracted to that which is evil. But in this context, both purity and loveliness come together, as we should often think about our lovely Savior who gave himself for us on the cross. And I think about the crowds of people that gathered around Jesus. And really, the Bible says that there was nothing earthly attractive about him per se, but his character was one that was attractive, and people flocked to be with him. commendable. This refers to something that deservedly enjoys a good reputation. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love believes the best about another person. It refuses to believe an evil report about a brother or sister until there is certain evidence to establish it. I think about healings and miracles that Jesus did. You know, there was a lot of negativity that people said about it, about that was twisted as he's doing these things with evil. But really, most people, what they had to say about him is that they knew that these people were healed, that miracles were true. And so they really attributed to Christ that which was commendable, that which he did. So the last two really sum up all these other attributes. The next one is excellent. And when it talks about excellence, it talks about moral excellence. It means moral virtue. To stop any behavior that is not in line with God's moral virtues as revealed in Scripture. To continue doing such things would hinder your growth in godliness. I think of the sinless life that Jesus lived, and that he is the most morally excellent example that we can have, and that we aspire to live like Christ. Praiseworthy. The word praise is used both in the terms of praising God, praising that he is worthy of praise, but also with people. We should be gracious by focusing on the strong points and good qualities of God and others. So when it talks about God being worthy of praise, it says how creation praises him, all creation, and how the heavens worship him as well. So as we think upon these things, we're going to look at our scripture again. The first point was the mind of Christ. The second point is perspective. So we get to change our perspective from what is natural. And Paul is such a great example of being able to shift your mindset from an earthly mindset to a heavenly mindset and perspective. It says in Philippians 1, this is earlier on in the book of Philippians, it says in verse 12, I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. So I'm going to paraphrase and interpret a little bit. Paul is saying, you know, is this guard chained to me, or am I chained to the guard, right? And so this is an opportunity to share the gospel. This person is chained to me, and they have to listen to what I have to say, right? It's not about that now I'm stuck, I'm in prison. It's that Paul had this wonderful ability to change his mindset and see it from God's point of view. The next thing that he said was to live as Christ and to die as gain. So it says in verse 21 there, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better for me. So he's torn between these two ideas. He's saying, well, it's a win-win situation. Either I live on and live for God, and there's much more fruit, many people will come to Christ, or I get to die and be with my Savior, which is far better. So either way, Paul is saying, listen, I'm in chains, I'm in prison, but it's a win-win situation, that either way, to live or to die is victory. So Paul is reasoning with these two truths. Paul often encourages us to reason. He says, you thought about this, now do this. That knowing and doing, living and learning, are deeply connected. Somewhere in the middle, we develop the ability to reason. So reason would be the next subpoint. So by knowing God's word we can logizimai, which is the Greek term, to consider, to count, to reckon. So my wife and I, we have become escape the room game enthusiasts. Does anyone know what escape the room is, or escape room games? Yeah? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of it. Oh wow, more than the first service. This is great. So I'm taking a risk on saying something that people have no idea about. So we've become enthusiasts of this fun activity. We've played 14 different rooms. But I really encourage you, don't do any of the scary ones, okay? But to explain this concept, we have a picture here. These guys are playing an escape room game. So this is a live-action team-based game where players cooperatively discover clues, solve puzzles, and accomplish tasks in one or more rooms in order to progress and accomplish a specific goal in a limited amount of time, usually an hour. So sometimes the theme is a submarine, sometimes it's a laboratory. I think this one is, looks like someone's basement. I don't know what that is. So, but the idea is to reason your way out of this room. So, you know, sometimes I get a little, my last experience that we did this, I actually was probably the most bummed out of any other time, because the whole hour I was holding two objects that were supposed to be used together. And at the end she said, yeah, I saw you walking around the whole time, the lady that was watching us on camera. She was like, yeah, you just needed to put those together. But you know, it's amazing what you get stuck on when you play these games. But really, the way to beat this is to come up with a list in your mind of these are the problems that we are seeing in the room, or these are locks or things that we have to solve. And then the other list in your mind is, well, these are the solutions we found. So there's this word, and we have to somehow use it in a solution, okay? So whether it be, sometimes we'll shout out, you know, I'm looking for a four-letter word. I'm looking for a five-number, you know, solution. So this, I felt like, was a great illustration to when I'm really reasoning in life. And that, you know, sometimes what I've learned is that, you know, sometimes you develop this list of truths in life. And what you have to do is you have to match it up with your problems. But sometimes you get stuck on one problem. And it seems like no matter what you put, whatever solution you think is the answer to that, just doesn't seem like it unlocks that lock. But you just have to keep reasoning with it. And that's when we, in these games, you may realize, if we could just open this one lock, I can see how the domino effect, how we'll beat this game. But this one lock is holding me up. But what's great is that in life, and it, you know, in walking with God, the scriptures is where we find those answers. And that if you have this thing this morning that is just locking you up, that you know that if you could just have peace and a breakthrough in this one place, is that really scripture is where we will find it. And I pray that you can find peace this morning through that. When we reason using God's word, we get the answers for life's issues. If you're stuck, that's where you'll find it. And I encourage you to memorize verses that relate to the problems you're dealing with. Because unless you have the word in your heart, God cannot use it when you are tempted. Kent Hughes says, you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. Frank Outlaw says, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits because they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. So let us look at the verse again. We're going to move to the second area. It says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. God does the work, yet gives us work to do. The believer is called to trust in the Lord, but also serve the Lord. Paul is the greatest example of this. In Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So the second area is practice these things. And we call it the path of God. I'm going to call it the path of God this morning. As we meditate on the Word of God and we obey it, we get this taste for goodness. Have you experienced that in life? Is that the more you do what God says, the more you obey, the more you submit to Him, you get this taste and this excitement for seeing that in other people and seeing that within yourself. Is that, man, I'm so excited about what God is doing. I pray that for you. Get a taste for the goodness of God. And it's easier to tame the mind and make right choices when you have that. We cannot make a pure thought life without first ridding ourselves of the things which defile us. It would be like trying to clean yourself up while lying in a mud hole. The first step is to get out of the hole and find yourself some soap and some water. So I'll just share with you what I personally do. I either take the thought captive, I deflect the thought, or I submit it to God. So I'm going to say that again. These are some strategies. Either take the thought captive, deflect the thought, or submit it to God. So 2 Corinthians says 10, 4 through 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." We can become double-minded between what we think and what we do, and I think that's what we would call cognitive dissonance. Have you ever experienced that tension? How are we ever going to live in peace when the things that we think about and the things that we do don't line up, right? Or the things that we do and the things we believe are in conflict? I think that that's a really important place to examine ourselves this morning so we can find the peace of mind. I don't want to prolong this morning. I know there's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. I promise you, just stay with me, okay? So Philippians 4, 8 through 9, we're going to go back there and we're going to look at our last area. This is the one I'm most excited about. Okay, we have looked at each one of these words brings us back to Christ, right? Is that ultimately you don't have to worry as much as being honorable, as much as looking unto God, right? Is that Jesus, his character, his attributes are what give us peace when we walk towards him. And so also what you have learned, what you've received and heard and practice these things, right? Is that sometimes you can see things in others that you can emulate, try them on, right? And then you can follow and find peace. If you see someone that has peace, ask them, why do you have peace in your life? What have you worked through? What have you learned by following Christ? But my favorite, "And the God of peace will be with you." And you know why that's so awesome and life-changing? Is it doesn't say, "And peace will be with you." Right? We seek after, it's the God of peace. If we do these things, right, it's God has promised us that the God of peace will be with us. And that's who we need to focus our attention is. Don't worry about whether you have peace of mind this morning, but do you have a God of peace? It says in Isaiah 54, 10, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be moved, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace," that's what should stick out, "covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." God has promised you, there's a covenant of peace. When you do what God says, he will draw near to you. Okay? Is that God, give us the strength, Lord God, to do what you said, Father, and find your peace. So, do you have someone in your life that you know you can give them you can just say, "I'm going to give you this project and I know it's going to be done. I don't even have to worry about it." Do you have someone in your life that's like that? You can give them something and you know, "I don't have to worry about it. It's going to get done." If you don't, I pray that you find someone like that. But there could be someone in your family, at work, right, that you can just give them to that. You give them a project. Well, isn't it unfair that we give things to God and we pick it back up again, and we worry about it as if it depends on us, right? How much more? So we will trust someone, another person, but yet we don't trust God with things we give him. God wants us to release things to him, and that's what I meant by whenever you struggle, you take the thought captive, you deflect it, or you just submit it to God. Because the peace of God is in you. If you're a child of God, if you've received him and he lives within you, the Spirit is living within you, the peace already is there. And you just have to take it. Right? Walk in peace. God, we give you that. So God even gives us peace in conflict. Paul speaks about two women earlier on in that chapter that are in conflict in the church. And so he encourages them to think the same way about the Lord. Get on the same page and think about God that they both serve and the Christ-like qualities that they both share together. That is a huge answer to conflict. I know the church, we like to think it's such a great, perfect place, right? But this is a hospital for people that are sick spiritually. And so there's going to be conflict. Don't get discouraged if you come to church and someone does the wrong thing or says the wrong thing. Just remember that that's a person, and God, peace with God is a whole other thing. But peace with others, how we can work through that, how can we can gain peace with others in conflict is that we share things in common. We serve the same God with all of those attributes. And that Paul encourages them to think about those things. Think about the things which are pure that you both share. Think about the things that are praiseworthy within each other. They share Christ, and we share Christ with one another. There's a quote from Thomas Watson, the English Puritan preacher. If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble. Too many times when we think about peace, we think about it where the world or the situation, the stress and all these things can steal it from us. But remember that God can steal trouble, right? And give peace. God can interject peace in the midst of trouble. Amen? Amen. So in closing this morning, I'm going to share with you John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The power of God, the peace of God lives within you. Do you realize that? If you have accepted Christ, the God of peace, in your heart, in your life, you have all the peace that you will need. But I want to go back to the question that I first asked is, so if you have the God of peace, why don't we have always the peace of mind? Well, it goes back to the sanctification process, that we are becoming more and more Christ-like, and that as we become more like him, we learn to gain victory. We also submit to God. We are learning each day more and more to be more victorious and to submit to him. So you are more like Christ and you are more peaceful. You will become more tomorrow than you are today. Right? And next year, you're going to be more at peace and more walking with the Lord in a deeper way than now. Isn't that a great hope? Isn't that great to know that no matter what comes your way, God is with you. The God of peace is with you. He will be with you. So shouldn't Christians be fearless and at peace? Yes. We have the saving grace, the saving peace of Christ, which is much more than the peace that is common to man. The peace that I have in Christ transforms my thoughts, my thought life, and my daily life. So what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to do the things that are foolish, that work against having peace. I'm not going to be double-minded in thinking one thing and doing another. I'm not going to dwell on negative thoughts, and I'm not going to do the things that will be sinful. Because don't you think that, you know, how many gigabytes do we have in this brain of ours? Right? It matters what we fill with it. Excuse me. There we go. I skipped something that I wanted to focus on. If a 60-second commercial by repeat viewing can sell us a product, then isn't it possible for a 60-minute show by repeat viewing can sell us a lifestyle? I want us to examine this morning where we are with what we put into our minds. Because it is garbage in, garbage out. Our minds are a limited resource, and the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 19:14. I pray this all the time, I speak it all the time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Shouldn't that be our cry? Is may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. So I know we get tired of renewing our minds. It's a lot of work of what I just presented to you about taking the thoughts captive, but there's a great hope in that there's peace. There's peace in every step of the way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I think the most important question I can ask you this morning is, do you have the God of peace? Have you received Christ into your life? I'm going to ask you to recommit yourself to the peace that God has given you. Recommit yourself to the God of peace. So let's bow our heads this morning as we pray. I'd like to give you an opportunity to just speak with the Lord, our God of peace. Just tell him, God, Father, fill my mind with your peace. Lord, let me not worry about the troubles and the conflict and all the situations that can steal my inner peace, God. But Lord, may I be peaceful so that I can reason, so that I can do the things that you want in my life. The real question is, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Do you have that peace? Have you come to know the cross and the resurrection? That God loves you with an everlasting love, and that he never changes. And though we have to deal with our sin and come to the Lord God and deal with his judgment if we do not accept his righteous ways. But what's great is that's a free gift. The free gift of God. So Lord, we repent this morning and we walk in faith with you. So right now, if you do not have the God of peace in your life, I invite you to just speak out. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was resurrected from the dead, that you will be saved. So tell the Lord in your own words, God, I believe and I speak with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that he was risen from the dead and has paid my sins. And I walk my path, I walk my life in your ways, that you may receive the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen.